Colossians chapter 3. Last week, we looked at the commands that were given to husbands and wives. We saw that wives were to submit themselves to their own husbands, and that husbands were to love their wives, and that both are to do it in obedience to God. It's not really a question of whether the husband deserves that respect. It's not really a question of whether you want to love your wife and she deserves that. It's out of obedience to God that we do that. As Christians, we want to do unto others because of what Christ has done for us. And so that has to be our underlying motivation for the way we live our lives, is we remember what Christ has done for us. And so we live that out towards others, whether they're deserving or not. And this week we're going to see some more commands that the Bible gives here in Colossians chapter 3. That again, the same thing goes with these, that it doesn't matter if the person deserves them or not. We do these things as unto the Lord and not unto men. We behave as Christians for the Lord's sake, in the fear of the Lord, not for other people's sake, not as men pleasers. Now, as a Christian this morning, and as a Christian every morning, when we get in the Word of God, when we hear the Word of God preached, when we hear what God has to say, as a Christian, we allow the Holy Spirit to convict us and to show us where this applies to our life. And as a Christian, we make changes accordingly. We don't come here thinking we got it all figured out and our life is perfect and we're living perfect and there's nothing more we can do. As a Christian, we want to hear what God would have for us to do. And we want to make changes according to His Word. Now, a non-Christian can come in this same service, can come listen to the same words, can read the same Bible, but the non-Christian can hear these things and simply walk out unchanged. No different than when he came. He can have no intention of changing. He came to go to church to maybe think that's, you know, his duty for the week and he's done his duty, he's going. Here's the Word of God. Holy Spirit convicts him, but he has no intention of changing his life for God. He'll change his life when and if he wants to change it. That's what non-Christian's attitude. But as a Christian, we want to come and make ourselves, you know, malleable by God. Let Him mold us into the image that He wants us to be in. Let Him mold us according to His Word. And the Bible compares us to children. In fact, we are His children. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 14 through 16 says, as obedient children. And so all of us, whether we're 80 years old or whether we're 1 year old, if we're in Christ, and I don't think a 1 year old would have came to Christ yet, but once we've came to Christ, we are His children. And we are to be obedient children, not fashioning yourselves, it says, according to the former lusts of your ignorance. Before we came to Christ, we were in ignorance of God's laws, God's commands, you know, what God wanted, and we fashioned ourselves the way we wanted to be. We fashioned our lives after how we wanted our lives to be, or after how we learned from the world how they're supposed to be. Now we're to be obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts of your ignorance. But as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. So we want to be obedient and learn what Christ, what God is like, and then fashion ourselves after Him as obedient children. Today we're going to read about children and fathers and servants. But we talk about children, we can also put our place, if we're not a child anymore, we can put our place as child of God, as children of God. And we can see God's principles for children, for fathers, for families, and for us as obedient children of God. Let's read Colossians 3. We're going to finish out chapter 3. Colossians 3, beginning with verse 20. Colossians 3, verse 20. The Bible says, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. Not with eye service, as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of inheritance, of the inheritance. For ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. Will you bow with me for prayer? Heavenly Father, I ask that you help me to rightly divide your word this morning, and that you convict each of us and show each of us and guide each of us into becoming more in your likeness. and that each one of us could be obedient children to you. And not think we have it all figured out, but Lord, may we hear the word, examine your word, test everything versus your word, but then make changes in our life to be in obedience to your word. So Lord, I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So we begin in verse 20. It says, children, obey your parents in all things. Now, all of what the Bible teaches is applicable to all of us. But sometimes the Word of God specifically calls out and focuses on a group of individuals. Here, God is speaking to who? Children. Are there any children here this morning? Yes. So this is talking to you. It says, children. So the Bible, God is talking specifically to you. Children, it says, obey your parents in all things. So, children, does it say obey your parents in some things? No. Children, obey your parents when you feel like it? Obey your parents when you agree with them? No, it says, children, obey your parents in all things. So, children, you should be listening, children. Are you doing this? Are you obeying your parents in all things? Obey your parents in all things. And I think a child is somebody that's still under the authority of their parents, still under the care, and they're dependent on their parents. Children, obey your parents in all things. Are you doing this, or do you rebel against their authority? And this isn't just a trifling question. It's a serious question. It's serious to God. The punishment in the Old Testament was serious for children disobeying their parents. More than even for thieving, for being a thief, or for other things. Disobedient to parents is a huge deal to God. Now the world that we live in, I think especially, you know, those of you in your teenage years, the world that we live in makes it seem like it's normal, it's acceptable to rebel against your parents. It's almost, you know, a rite of passage. Parents think when you have teenagers it's going to be terrible because they're going to do this, you just want to get through. And so it's accepted that children should rebel against their parents. It's just the way things are. Always have been, but that's not so. That's not what we see in the Bible. That's an anti-Christian teaching that's brought into the world by Satan himself. God's word is very plain that children, as long as they're dependent on their parents, should obey their parents in all things. You say, but what if my parents are wrong? What if they just don't understand me? They're from a different generation. They don't understand me. You know, I know more than them in this area. What if I know more than my parents? What if they don't understand me? These kind of questions. But we're given an example in the Bible of a child that his parents did not understand him. His parents didn't know more than him. He knew way more than his parents, yet he was obedient. Let's go to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. So hopefully, children, if you can understand my voice, you're listening this morning. Because God's speaking specifically to you about obeying your parents. Luke chapter 2. And we're going to look at a young child who obeyed his parents even though he knew that he knew more than they did. Even though he knew they didn't understand him. Luke chapter 2, verse 40. We're talking about the young child, Jesus. Jesus. Luke chapter 2, verse 40. The Bible says, and the child grew and waxed strong in the Spirit. He grew strong in the Spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the Feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, got any 12-year-olds? Everybody's 13? Hayden, you got to raise your hand. Are you 12? There you go. You're 12 years old, right? This is how old Jesus was when he was Peyton's age right here. He was 12 years old. They went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. Now these parents weren't perfect parents, were they? They could forget their child for a day. I mean, you can see Peyton's big enough to take care of himself. You just think he's with some cousins, with some, you know, family. You're going along. I mean, why would Peyton stay in Jerusalem, right? So, I mean, you would think it's understandable, kind of. And so, but they thought he was with them. But after a day, they found he wasn't. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. and all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and his answers. Jesus hadn't been to school, you know, with the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and he wasn't with the doctors. He wasn't taught in that, but he's astonishing them with his answers and his questions. And when they saw him, his parents were amazed, and his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? Now, he says he's about his father's business. Who's he talking about? His father in heaven. I mean, we understand that, but look in verse 50. They understood not the saying which he spake unto them. His parents didn't understand him. That's one of the main things, you know, kids would say, my parents don't understand me. Well, they didn't understand a simple thing about this, who he was. He said, I'm about my father's business. Jesus had parents that did not understand him. Did they know as much as he did? He's the creator of all that ever existed. Right? He knows everything. He knows how those fish we looked at in Sunday school, how they work. He knows so much more than his parents. His parents walk off and wonder, leave him a day. I mean, he has parents that are so not worthy of him. But what did he do? Verse 51. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. So Jesus Christ, who was way more misunderstood than you ever are, children, Jesus Christ, who knows way more than you ever will, children, subjected himself to his parents, did he not? So you say, how could I do it? My parents just don't understand. Yeah, they understand. You're in a lot better situation, but Jesus is our example here of being subject to your parents, of obeying. He went down and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. So we have an example. He was subject unto them. So the Bible said, let's go back to Colossians. Colossians chapter 3, children, obey your parents in all things. Let me add something here, because when we read the Bible, we compare it with other scriptures. This is not saying that if your parents, you know, ask you to sin, they ask you to lie, that's disobeying God. The Bible says in Acts 5:29, we ought to obey God rather than men. We obey God, we obey our parents, but if your parents would ask you to lie, would ask you to steal, we're not talking about that. We're talking about parents that give you commands, things that are in line with the Word of God, that aren't asking you to sin. Now, I mean, you don't want to have to talk about these things, but this Jerry Sandusky, I mean, he was kind of a father figure. You know who I'm talking about, this Penn State coach. A father figure to these kids. And there's times when children, you do not obey. You do not allow things to take place. If somebody, a parent, tries to touch you in a place that's a private place, that's not a time to obey and just go along with it. That's wrong. If any parent, if any church member, anybody right here, any teacher at school, any preacher, any uncle, aunt, cousin, anybody tries to touch you or get you to do something with private parts that you should not, you know you should not do, that's not a time to be obedient. That's a time to tell somebody. You tell me, you tell somebody else, but that's wrong. And the Bible says that if anybody would offend a child that believes in Jesus, that it's better that a millstone be hung around their neck and drowned in the sea than to offend a little one. So we're not talking about obedience to that point. We're talking about obedience to God, obey God rather than men. But Lord willing, in most of our circumstances, in all of our circumstances, we are, most of the commands our parents give us, we should obey. So first and foremost, obey God. Secondly, under God is your parents. Children, obey your parents in all things. Why? For this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. There's your motivation. You obey your parents, hopefully because you love them, you respect them, you want to please them. But ultimately, no matter what, even if your dad or your mom was a drunkard, even if they don't really deserve that respect, you obey your parents in the Lord because it's well-pleasing to the Lord. You obey them out of love and to please God, your Father in heaven, who sees all things. You obey them in order to please the Lord. Now, the Bible means something to Christians. Children, you can be a Christian if you understand your sin. And you understand that you do not deserve heaven, you deserve hell because you've sinned. You've disobeyed your parents. You've lied. You've stolen. You've done wrong things. And because of that sin, you deserve hell and you deserve punishment. You can't be with God in heaven, but Jesus Christ died for you. He shed his blood for you just as much as he did for me as a 34-year-old. Just as much. If you understand that and you understand your sin and you repent towards God and put your faith in Jesus Christ, you can be saved. There's not an age limit on salvation. You have to be 8. You can be saved today if you trust in Jesus Christ and ask him to save you. The Bible says, call upon the name of the Lord and thou shalt be saved. Ask Jesus to save you and follow him. To a Christian, if you've done that, children, as a Christian, you're going to hear what the Bible says. Children, obey your parents in all things. And you're going to follow that. You're going to change your life. There may be children here that you are rebelling against your parents at this moment. Last night you had a huge thing where you did something, you're rebelling against your parents. The Bible says to obey your parents. As a Christian, you want to please God, you will change your life because of what you hear this morning. You'll change your life because of what the Word of God says. If you're not a Christian child, what I'm saying up here would make no difference to you. It would sound like a bunch of religious mumbo jumbo, right? Oh, that preacher guy was just talking the Bible. Who cares, really? You know, you may even know in your heart that that's right, that yeah, I should, but you really don't care. You want to do what you want to do. As a Christian, you want to please God. The way you please God as a child, under the authority of your parents, is to obey your parents. If you purposely defy your parents, if you purposely rebel against their authority, you're displeasing the Lord. Here it says, obey your parents, for this is well-pleasing. So if you disobey, you are displeasing the Lord. And if you can do this, if you make a practice of rebellion, of disobeying, defying that, you're showing your true colors, and I would say they're not Christian colors. So children, examine yourselves to see whether you're in the faith. Are you a Christian? You want to examine yourself. If you can understand what I'm saying this morning, you know enough to examine yourself. Am I trusting in Jesus Christ? Am I following Him? And my plea is for you to just repent of this rebellion, turn to Jesus Christ, because you're ultimately rebelling against God. But children, obey your parents in all things. Now parents, this verse also says something to you. If children are to obey their parents, what are they to obey? They're to obey, are they to read your mind and to just kind of know this is what, you know, he wants? And we're not asking them to read your mind to obey you. They have to obey what they hear, what they're instructed, the words that you tell them. You should be giving them instruction, right? You should be parenting your kids. You should be teaching your kids, admonishing your kids, nurturing your kids. So if a child is to obey, you have to give them things to obey. You must tell them what to do. Ephesians chapter 6 says to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. To nurture them is to feed them. Feed them knowledge. Feed them the Word of God. Promote their growth. To admonish, it means to warn them that this is wrong. You got to turn from that. That's not the way we do it. You want to admonish your children. You want to feed your children, grow your children. But you must parent them. Just like the world has kind of fed children that it's all right to rebel. It's normal. It's natural. You know, you should think your parents are nuts. You shouldn't obey them. You should live your own life. That's what the world teaches teenagers. But the world teaches parents that they don't need to teach and admonish and just be with them and giving instruction all the time. If you do that, you're going to wear out your kids and they're going to hate you, right? Let the school system handle that. Let the school system teach them and admonish them and tell them this and that. They'll tell you what they need to know. Then the TV can handle the rest of the time. If they're there, they can listen to the TV. They can watch the TV. They can learn from that. They can grow. They can learn their manners. They can learn all this stuff. Give them a TV program. Give them school. iPad, a Wii, something else. Okay, but basically, the world tries to tell that parents, your job is to provide a roof over their head, give them clothing, make sure their stomach is fed, and we'll take care of the rest. Remember that book by Hillary Clinton, you know, It Takes a Village? You need... Not according to the Bible, the parents are the ones that are raising the children. They're given that responsibility. We're not just taking care of their physical needs, but we're to teach them. The Bible says to teach them diligently in Deuteronomy 6. Teach them. That means it's work. That means you're taking time to do it. It's not just, you know, well, somebody will do it. We are to teach them diligently, especially fathers. When you sit in the house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up, all the time parents are to instruct their children. And I think that there are many children, not necessarily in here, but across the world, that cannot obey their parents because their parents don't give them any instruction. Their parents basically left them to themselves, and they're kind of to do their own thing, and the parents might yell at them, you know, or mad, but they never give them instruction. They never teach them and admonish them and parent them the way they're supposed to be parented. They're left to themselves. The Bible says in Proverbs 29:15, the rod and reproof give wisdom. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. So a child left to himself brings his mother to shame. But many children are being left to themselves. Left to watch TV and whatever they learn, they learn. And we wonder, how can they turn out this way? The world's teaching them. It's not the parents teaching them. Parents should tell them what's wrong and right. And as parents, don't ask your children to lie, right? Don't tell them on the phone to, just tell them I'm not here. Are you here? You're asking them to lie. They're to obey you in all things, right? You're asking them to lie. Now you're causing them to disobey God or disobey you. You're putting them between a rock and a hard place. Think about the things you teach your children. Make it easy for them to obey the Lord by obeying you. Give them godly instruction. Give them godly direction. Live a godly life. There's things we have to turn around in our life. We have to examine ourselves. Where am I being hypocritical? What do I need to change so that my children, that I'm not offending them? Because offenses must come, but woe to that person by whom the offense cometh. If I cause my children to sin, woe to me. Don't want to offend little children. We must instruct our children. It's a huge responsibility. It's given to parents. Children, obey your parents in all things. That means we must give them things to obey. We must do it and do it right. Now, the Bible reader, if you're in your Bibles, you're not surprised at all that the world is saying, parents, you don't need to do it. Children, it's all right to disobey. You know, I remember in school that, I mean, you're always, people talk about, yeah, my dad, he used to think this and that, but that's a bigoted type of thing. And you're always pitting, you know, the teacher would pit like you against your parents' generation. And so it's constantly, yeah, they did this in the past and that's not good. So they're teaching you the new way to think, the new way to be. And it's just right to think that your parents are out of date. They don't really know. They're not really smart. They're not with it like the new generation is. And so, I mean, obviously there's going to be rebellion in the hearts of children. And the Bible says this is going to happen in the last days. 1 Timothy 3, verses 1 and 2 says, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. So a sign of the time of the last days is that children will be disobedient to parents. And I don't know, I haven't lived in all times, but tough for me to imagine a time where there's more disobedience, not honoring father and mother, disobedience to parents in our world today. With the culture that we live in, with the shows that encourage that, with the music that encourages that, with the education that encourages that, with all this that encourages that. I mean, we live in a time where people are disobedient to parents. And so children, God looks on your disobedience to your parents as a serious matter. And parents, God looks upon your nurture and admonition of your children as a serious matter. Go to verse 21. It says, fathers, Colossians 3, verse 21, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Don't provoke your children to anger, speaking specifically to fathers. Ephesians 6, verse 4, if you go back to the left in your Bible, five or six pages, Ephesians 6, verse 4, sounds about like this. It's another letter to the church in Ephesus. He wrote similar instructions. Ephesians 6, verse 4, it says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We're kind of told that if we're too involved with our children's life, if we nurture them too much, admonish them too much, if we just don't let them kind of have their, you know, their own way and let them win these things, all that. If we do too much as parents, then they're going to become angry and rebel. But that's not what we see in the Bible. Look at verse 4. It says, provoke not your children to wrath. So as fathers, we could make our children to where they're angry at the world. They have wrath at the world. And I think of those Columbine shooters and the school shooters. I mean, those kids were full of wrath and anger. Kids can just hate everything. We don't want our kids to be provoked to wrath by us. It says, but. So, don't do this. Don't provoke your children to wrath. But instead, it says here, bring them up in the nurture and admonition. So, if we don't want our kids to be full of anger and wrath, we need to parent them, nurture them, admonish them. Which is kind of the opposite of what at least I feel that the world tells us, is that you need to give kids freedom and don't be on them too much and don't tell them too much to do and don't admonish them, don't nurture them. That'll make them angry. But the Bible says the opposite. That provoking them to wrath would be if we don't nurture and admonish them. So we need to be with our children. If they're under your house and you're under your authority, you need to be with them and nurture and admonish them. I mean, today's world, you know, kids will have their own TV, their own computer, their own room. And in some houses, parents might see their children twice a day, maybe at breakfast, maybe they see them in the hallway once or something. Okay? And that's thought of as normal. That's what kids do. That's the way families work. But that's not the way a biblical family works. If we got to instruct them all the time, we need to be around them as a family, as parents. So a Christian father must take seriously the charge here to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Provoke not your children to anger, to wrath. Turn back to verse 21 in Colossians chapter 3. The fathers, be involved. A job of a father is not just to provide an income and then you're done. The job of a father in the Bible is to nurture and admonish their children. Ephesians, or Colossians chapter 3, verse 21, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Now, when children are provoked to anger, they can become angry with the world, angry at God, angry at their parents, and it says here they can become discouraged, lest they be discouraged. Now, when we think of discouraged, we think, you know, you're kind of down in the dumps, you don't feel like you can do this, you can't do that, you just kind of don't feel like you can go take on the world. You don't feel like you can do whatever you're called to do. You're discouraged. And that's what it means. I mean, look at the root word in discouraged. It's courage. Courage is in that word, right? Courage is the strength to do things, even when they're hard. We want our kids to be courageous, to have courage, the strength to do things, even when they're hard. You want them to do schoolwork, even when it's hard. You want them to go out and do that chore, even when it's hard. To get in that job, even when it's hard. To witness to others about Christ, even when it's hard. We want our kids to have courage, not discouraged. We want our kids to have courage. We want them to have the ability to face things, even when they're scared. That's courage. We want our kids to be courageous Christians. We want to be courageous Christians. No matter what, to do the will of God, to do the Word of God. No matter what kind of things we're going to face, and our children and what the generation we live in are going to have to be courageous. We're going to have to, fathers and mothers, I mean, get in the lives of our children and raise them up and nurture them and admonish them and give them courage for what they're going to have to face. We want to raise courageous kids, not discourageous, not discouraged kids. Discourage would be not having courage. You know, you don't feel like you can do it. You can't take on. It's too hard. I'm too scared. I'm too this. I'm too that. We can make them angry where they just don't have the courage to do anything. The Bible says John the Baptist, when he was young, he grew and he waxed strong in the Spirit. The Bible says that Jesus Christ, when he grew, he waxed strong in the Spirit, filled with wisdom. We want our children to wax strong, to grow strong in the Spirit, to have a Spirit, the Holy Spirit in them, but their Spirit, their fervor, their courage to be ready to work for God, to do the works that God has for them to do. To do that, fathers, we have to be involved. Mothers, you have to be involved. The world's not going to teach them to be courageous for Christ. The world doesn't want them to be courageous for Christ. It's nonsense to the world. Admonish your children, teach your children, instruct them. And children, and parents, I mean, we have dropped the ball. I mean, if you examine yourself, there's areas you've dropped the ball. Well, today, pick it up and get going. Pick it up and turn around your life, turn around your parenting, and do more. You may be doing a good job, but you can do better. We have our children for a short time. Let's do the best that we can. We do it for the Lord. The Lord sees it. We do it for our children to raise up arrows that can go out for Christ. Courageous kids, not discouraged kids. And as Christians, you know, we're all the children of God. And He doesn't want us to be discouraged. He wants us to have courage. He says what in Joshua? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be dismayed. We can be courageous as Christians. As Christians, we have God with us. If God is with us, who can be against us? The Bible says in 2 Timothy 1, verse 7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We are children of God. God does not discourage us with His Word. He makes us courageous. He gives us nurture and admonition. If we want to be nurtured and admonished, we just get in the Word of God. We just listen to Bible preaching, Bible teaching. We apply it to our lives. God shows us how to be a perfect Father by nurturing us and admonishing us through His Word. And we should not be provoked to wrath and to anger, but rather to be courageous for Christ. Rather to go work for Him and to do things for Him. So we as children can put ourselves in the place here with our Heavenly Father. Now as parents, there are some children that are just maybe obedient because that's in their nature. But there's some children that are not. And that's in their nature. Only God really sees how you parent. You're not parenting to try to show off for other people, to try to, you know, show them all this kind of stuff. God sees these things. God judges these things. God sees all that the effort you put in. He sees your heart in it. And that's what we need to do is please God. Again, we're not doing it to please men. We're not loving our wives, you know, just because of them. We're doing it as to the Lord. Not submitting to husbands, wives, just for them. It's as to the Lord. We parent as to the Lord. Look at verses 24 and 25 here. It says, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. God sees all that we do. Children, God sees what you do. God sees your heart. Man looks on the outside, but God can see your heart. You don't just obey children, you know, outwardly as men pleasers just to put on a good face. God wants you to obey from the heart. Do it heartily. And God sees your heart. And if you can't obey heartily, grow closer to your God. Grow closer to the Lord. And ask Him to give you the power to do that. But that's what we want to be, is we want to be able to obey our parents with all our heart. Do it heartily as to the Lord, verse 23 says. And the Lord shall see this, and the Lord shall reward you, for ye serve the Lord Christ. So as children, no matter how old or how young, if you're under your parents, you're serving the Lord Christ when you are obedient to your parents. But he that doeth wrong, it says in verse 25, shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. And there's no respect of person. Doesn't matter if you're a valedictorian. Doesn't matter if you're like the Heisman Trophy or, you know, something in high school. Doesn't matter what you've done publicly. God doesn't care. God cares about your obedience from your heart to your parents. And fathers, it doesn't matter if you get an award from the Nebraska something, Father of the Year. Okay, they may name you Father of the Year. That means something among men. It means nothing to God. God sees the way you're fathering. God sees your heart. God sees all. So we want to do these and serve the Lord Christ. And all of these commands, even tells us in verse 22, I'm just going to quickly look at 22, for servants to obey their masters. You know, a servant is one that's under the authority of somebody else. A lot of us are at work, and we're under the authority of somebody else. Somebody that is our boss, tells us what to do. It tells us to obey our masters in all things, according to the flesh. Again, not break the law of God, but to obey our masters. Not with eye service as men pleasers, not to get a raise, not just so you look good, not to get a promotion. But we do it, what? In singleness of heart, fearing God. So even at work, we obey, we submit in all things, but we do it unto the Lord. That's kind of the theme of this whole thing, is that we're going to live out our lives, and everything that we're called to do, no matter how tough or easy it is, these things that we're asked to do, we do it as unto the Lord. That's our ultimate motivation, is what He has done for us. It comes back to the gospel that we believed on if we're saved, that He died for our sins according to the Scripture. He rose again for our justification. If you know that, you know what He's done for you, and you can look forward to that eternal life with Him, then you live for Him today. You live for Him and are obedient to Him in all that He asks you to do. It's because of that that we want to obey Him. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I ask that You be with us as believers this morning. Lord, help our children here to search their hearts and to see if they have been obedient to their parents. Lord, if not, I ask that You grant them repentance and that they can ask forgiveness and that they could be obedient as to You. And Lord, as fathers, that we can do our job, mothers, they can do their job, and we can be good parents at work. We can be a model employees, not to please men, but to please You. And Lord, may everything in our life, it comes down to that, please You. And we ask that we can do things with our heart for You. Lord, we thank You for all You've done for us. And Lord, please work in us. Help us to encourage one another to be holy because You're holy. So I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.